Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17. Punishment and reward of Kali, text 30.
Patitam padayo vira.
Patitam padayo vira.
Kripaya dina vatsala.
Kripaya dina vatsala.
Shranyo navadich shrokya.
Shranyo navadich shrokya.
Ahachedam hasanneva.
Ahachedam hasanneva.
Patitam. Kripaya, out of compassion. Dina Vatsala,
kind
to the poor.
Sharanya,
one who is qualified to accept surrender.
Na,
not.
Avadit,
to kill.
Shlokya,
one who is worthy of being sung. Aha, said.
Also.
Didam.
This.
Hasan.
Smiling.
Iva.
Like.
Translation. Maharaj Pritchett, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Purport. Even an ordinary Kshatriya does not kill a surrendered person. And what to speak of Maharaj Pritchett, who is by nature compassionate and kind to the poor? He was smiling because the artificially dressed Kali had disclosed his identity as a lower class man. And he was thinking how ironic it was that although no one was saved from his sharp sword when he desired to kill, the poor lower-class Kali was spared by his timely surrender. Maharaj Pritchett's glory and kindness are therefore sung in history. He was a kind and compassionate emperor, fully worthy of accepting surrender even from his enemy. Thus the personality of Kali was saved by the will of providence.
Om Agena Chimanandasya Agena Jana Shalakaya Chakshun. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thus the personality of Kali was saved by the will of providence. So you may wonder, why did Pritchett Maharaj kill the age of Kali personified? Then we wouldn't have all the problems we have today. Why didn't Pritchett Maharaj take action and destroy the disease at the root? Instead, we see, by the will of providence, the personality of Kali was saved. You see, during the time of the battle of Kukshetra, Kali was already present, but Krishna's presence kept him practically invisible. And then the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira was so sterling that Kali Yuga had very little chance to manifest. So then you may say, why then during the reign of Pritchett Maharaj, who is equally as glorious as Yudhisthira, was Pritchett Maharaj not capable of keeping his empire in order? Well, we read that even Pritchett Maharaj is surprised. What is going on? Who is this evil person beating a cow? So he was surprised. How dare this happen in my area? In other words, this is a total blemish against my record. This is real administration, real leadership. Prince Maharaj took ownership of the problem and immediately took action. Just when he's about to kill the age of Kali personified, Kali Yuga reveals himself not to be a king. He was disguised as a king beating a cow. This is horrible to Prince Maharaj, because how can someone pretending to be a government leader be beating a cow? In other words, government leadership is meant to give protection to all living entities. Of course, people today have some concept that the government is meant to give protection, but they don't know what are the valuable things to protect. Besides health care for the body, there should be health care for what you really are, the spirit soul. But there is no education to determine what the identity of the human being is. Therefore, all these welfare attempts constantly miss the point. And the result of their missing the point is that you see no political, no economic solutions to the world's problems, no environmental solutions. Why is that? Because they're missing the point. This is the proof. Now, we agree their solutions, their economic, their political, their environmental solutions are very sophisticated and complicated. We give credit for that. But what's the use of having a sophisticated arrow that misses the target? What is the point? So we do give credit. We are not miserly. We give them credit for producing a very intricate, complicated civilization, technologically advanced, that totally misses the point. The proof that things are missing a basic understanding is that nothing works. No matter how much energy is put in, no matter how many conferences, no matter how many deliberations, the point is missed. People still today have some conception that governments should give protection. Depending on which political system you're under, you think the government should give protection to the economy. Maybe it should protect the business persons. Other political systems say, no, protect the workers. Others say, well, try to make a compromise, protect both. Protect the investors. No, protect the poor. What about how to protect all living entities, not just the human beings? That is the Vedic message, that all living entities born within the territory of a leader are his dependents, praja. So therefore the government leader is responsible for giving protection to all creatures within his province. So this is how Maharaj Prichit is proceeding. He's seeing that in his territory, a cow is being beaten. This is horrible to him. Who would terrify and terrorize such an innocent and helpful, beneficial living entity as a cow? Of course, these days, to see cows being tortured is an everyday event. People just accept that that's what it takes to put tasty flesh on our dinner plates. The cows are meant to be treated like that. They're meant for our pleasure, the gratification of our tongue. Even though they're told so many times, the people are told so many times that eating meat is ruining their health and ruining their environment, they can't give it up. And their leaders can't stress this point of giving it up because they're worried about their popularity. This is the proof that you have bogus governments. Such a thing that is agreed upon even by mundane science, the leaders can't enforce. They would dare to bring it up. From now on, the mayor of Melbourne would say, all throughout the district of Melbourne, no eating of flesh. think would not never, they'd never say such a thing. They're worried about their popularity. Even though it's not simply a scriptural statement that flesh eating produces complications and sinful results, even scientists, their own scientists are saying no. Of course, they're worried that, well, we don't want to say things too extreme to the people because then they won't listen at all. So what they say is, stop eating red meat. Or eat meat in moderation. Just a little bit of flesh. Why that little bit of flesh? Prabhupada would always point out. Why you go through all this trouble just to have a little bit of fresh flesh on your plate? You commit so many sinful activities. You participate in such conspiracy of animal slaughter just to have a lump of flesh on your plate. So why moderation? Why have nothing? Your life becomes so better. Your life becomes so peaceful. Why red meat? No red meat, only white meat. Not a lot of flesh, just a little flesh. Why not be totally scientific? You say you're scientific. You yourself point out the environmental damage caused by livestock, raising livestock for flesh. You point out scientifically how inefficient it is to feed grains to the animals, many animals, rather than eat the grains directly. You know all these things, yet you still don't tell the people what to do. This is the proof that you are bogus. Because they'll say, no, we have the genuine interest of the people at heart. We are your elected leaders. We are here to serve the people. This is the proof that you're not. It's not simply the Vedas are saying this. Your own scientists are saying this. Still, though, you won't tell the truth and guide the people. Just like cigarettes are restricted, alcohol supposedly restricted, why not flesh eating? It's not outlandish what we are saying. You have warning signs on all the cigarette packages. You have a minimum age for drinking, whatever it is, 18. I don't suppose anyone here knows. 18? Any Aussies here? Yes, 18. So, that's obviously then the government is trying to give some little protection, which is so inefficient. Of course, they would never ban all alcohol. No way. So, this is the proof. You will not make any restriction about meat eating, even though your own scientists say that it's unbeneficial for the people. So they have no deep understanding of how to guide human beings. This is our point. You're going to put a sign on all meat packages like they do on cigarettes? Warning, this will destroy your health, destroy your next life, destroy your higher consciousness. No, they won't do that. So we can bring this up. This is the point. This is the proof that you don't have the people's interest at heart. But then, what will be the response? Look, if we make an unpopular law like that, people will throw us out of office. We are representing the people. Which is actually not true. They're representing business interests. But they pretend we are representing the people. Because their campaigns are all financed by business. Maybe not so much in Australia as in the USA. But still, financial interests are controlling so much. Another argument they'll say is that people have a right to eat what they want to eat. Okay, then people have a right to drink alcohol at 2 years old. A parent has a right to give a child, 2-year-old child, alcohol. Cigarettes should be available freely without any special tax. It's another thing. You want to cut down the meat eating? Do it like cigarettes. Make a high tax on it. The government can make money. You want to buy flesh? Then $50 per steak. I don't know how much it costs, but Well, $200, $500 per stake. This is done for cigarettes, alcohol. The government makes so much money off of it. So why not for meat? This argument that, well, we cannot interfere with individual tastes. But you are interfering. There are certain things you cannot do as a resident or citizen of Australia, even though you may say, it's my own taste. There are government regulations for how much, for example, you can't have lead in paint. You may say, well, I want lead in the paint. I like it. But the government has determined, no, this is not good for you. So why not in terms of flesh? Just like persons who want drugs legalized. They say, it's my consciousness, so I should determine what I do with my own consciousness. And with marijuana, the government is caving in on that, practically speaking. Yeah, people want to smoke marijuana. It's not so bad. It's their life. Let them smoke. Where do you draw the line? There's no principle. Well, marijuana is not such a bad, harmful drug, and it helps people who are terminal patients to endure the pain. And how do you decide what is beneficial and not? What is the real welfare of an all-around person, the total person? This we can give information on. We can describe what is the real living being and what is that living being's all-around welfare. So we're not afraid when Pritchard Maharaj is ready to take action against Kali. We're not going to defend Kali. No, 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 he's an individual. He has his rights. He has a right to like the simple things that he likes. But what does Pritchard Maharaj say? He says, it's not only Kali, but everything that comes along with Kali. He says, if the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man-god or as an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. In other words, Kali Yuga comes along with all kinds of horrible things. So Pritchard Maharaj is very incisive with his intelligence, with his Krishna conscious intelligence. He knows, I can't give any mercy to this nonsense because so much damage comes along with it. Of course, he is allowing Kali Yuga to live. So again, we're back to that question. First of all, Pritchard Maharaj accepted the surrender from Kali. As a bona fide Kshatriya, what to speak of a celebrated Kshatriya, he doesn't kill someone who asks for mercy. And from Kali's side, what was Kali doing? He was dressed as a king, doing the horrible act of beating a cow. But threatened by Pritchard, he quickly got rid of his kingly disguise. No, I cannot fight with this person. This warrior is far more powerful than me. I'd better expose myself for what I really am. Just a low-class person. So that's why Pritchard Maharaj was chuckling.
Just see.
One minute he's a great king, the next minute he reveals himself to be an ordinary wretch. Now I won't kill him. But you see, besides Kali taking shelter of Pritchard and begging for mercy, the fact is that jivas want Kali Yuga. And therefore, Krishna allows Kali Yuga to happen. So you can't blame Krishna or Pritchard Maharaj. You have to blame yourself. Let's look at our desires and see how we've been infected, how we have contaminated thoughts and contaminated desires, all which are the product of association with Kali. Who do we blame for Kali Yuga? Look in the mirror. We blame ourselves. Because there are living entities who want Kali Yuga, Krishna has allowed it to happen, to fulfill the desire of the jivas. At the same time, Krishna provides a facility to easily come back to him in the worst possible age. So on the one hand, you have the worst possible climate for social upliftment in the real way. You have the worst possible climate for self-realization. And on the other hand, you have the easiest method how to go back to Godhead. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is stated that those who are actually wise, they worship Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga it's possible to go back to Godhead, to attain perfection so easily, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, great saints and sages worship Kali Yuga. So that doesn't mean, of course, that we should go out and embrace all the garbage of Kali Yuga. What their statement means, Kalim Sava Jayantjarya, it means that we should embrace the solution to all the garbage. We have the easiest opportunity to go back to Krishna, because it's the worst possible age and Krishna has made it more easy than any other time. So we should stop our complaining, stop our whinging, stop convincing ourselves it's impossible, it can't be done. I know it's right, but who can do it? So in this way, Maharaj Prichit did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. So are there any questions?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they are telling actually that if you don't get meat, you won't get meat.
You won't get what?
Negative. If you don't take meat, you won't get B12.
I'll be 12.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't mean you have to kill cows.
Yeah.
Just because you don't get B12, it's because you don't know how to eat properly. Because I don't know how to do something, therefore I should kill you. Because I'm too lazy to figure out a proper solution. How much does B12 cost at a store? Not very much at all. How much does meat cost? Very expensive. You don't have any ex-meat eaters here who could tell us how much meat costs these days? I have no idea. So just because you may have difficulty getting B12 simply means you need to learn how to eat. Isn't it better to get education how to eat properly than to have mass slaughter? We need the B12, kill all animals. Yes. He was a qualified leader. In other words, not anyone can accept surrender of living entities. You have to have qualification. It's not that any husband or any wife or any mother can accept dependence. What does Lord Rishabhdev say in the fifth canto? Gurna sasya pitana sasya. Don't be any kind of position for accepting responsibility, whether a guru, a father, a husband, mother, whatever, unless you can save your dependent from repeated birth and death. So Prichit Maharaj was qualified to accept surrender, meaning he was a worthy character. As stated here, he is Shlokya, one who is worthy of being sung.
The point Prabhupada makes in the purport is that even an ordinary kshatriya doesn't kill someone who surrenders to him. What to speak of Prichit Maharaj, who was so qualified to accept surrender? So, your question is leading to the reality that all of us need to become qualified to teach, to give shelter. This is not just a few persons' job. Prabhupada would always say like that. We need countless persons who are qualified to give shelter. That's what this temple community is all about, giving shelter. And the smart person takes advantage of that shelter by taking guidance. And the guides have to be qualified, coming in parampara, experienced, wise, spiritually deep, and they can give counsel. That's the answer to today's Kali Yuga madness. We want to start a wisdom culture. Not that I get some idea in my head, oh, I should do this or that, and then I just go out and do it, and that way disturb my own Krishna consciousness, even disturb my own material prospects, because I never consulted anyone. In a wisdom culture, you tap into the wisdom of the elders, the experience of the elders, and the elders relish the enthusiasm of the younger generation. Enthusiastic energy. So there's a place for everyone. As I always point out, the ideal community is one that takes advantage of the enthusiasm of the youth, of the younger, and the experience and wisdom of the elders. Then you have a powerful community. So yes, we want to be qualified so that we can accept surrender. Prichit Maharaj is worthy of being sung in history. We're still glorifying him 5,000 years later. He's Veera, the hero, and he has Kripaya, compassion. He's Dina Vatsala, kind to the poor. But in his kindness to Kali in not killing him, he's going to be very strategic when Kali begs for mercy. Look, I have to have some place where I can stay. Otherwise, if things remain the way they are, everywhere I go in your kingdom, I'll see you and I'll be subject to being killed. Give me some place. So why is Prichit going to give him some place? Because Prichit knows it's the plan of Krishna that Kali Yuga becomes present. That's why Prichit Maharaj allows himself to be killed by the snake bird, because he knows it's time for Kali Yuga to come. As long as Prichit Maharaj is around, Kali Yuga can't manifest fully. So that's why Prichit Maharaj submitted to the snake bird's bite. He knew it was Krishna's plan. For Kali Yuga to come, I gotta go. Yes.
Devotees are compassionate, tolerant, and charitable. So many other good qualities they have. If someone tries to take advantage of devotees' good qualities and want to exploit them, how should we deal with them?
Devotees need to be protected. Therefore, there should be it's the job of the administrators of the devotee community to make sure devotees are not misled, taken advantage of, and sometimes devotees are very simple. And we all want to be trusting, but the fact is we live in Kali Yuga, and sometimes discrepancies have to be pointed out, and that needs to be some regulation. So that's the job of the community leaders, to keep everything on track. It's not an easy task. Because the easiest thing is just to let everyone do whatever they like. That's what the politicians say. We want to be elected, and our position depends on the people voting for us, so let them do whatever they like. This is an irresponsible parenting. I want my child to love me, so let the child do whatever he likes. No, when the child is about to injure himself, the parents have to step in. So yes, sometimes there is some controversy, some misdirection, some misuse even of authority, and so the community leaders, they're keeping a watchful eye, keeping things on track. It's a very, very difficult job. The easiest thing is just to say, oh, whatever happens, happens. Water seeks its own level. Don't worry about it. That's the easiest thing. The hardest thing to do is to step in. Just like parents today, Kali Yuga parents, they all take the easy way out. Not in India, but India is becoming westernized so quickly. What's the Western way of enlightened parenthood? Whatever you want, dear, just follow your dream. Whatever makes you happy, dear. I remember one devotee telling me how he went to, he was in his early 20s, and he was staying at home for some reason. And his mother was an administrator of several bookshops, a chain of bookshops. So one day he was just in the living room, and she comes home from work with a big stack full of magazines in her hand. And she just says hello to her son. Hi, son. How are you today? Hey, I got some nice porn magazines for you. Would you like them? In other words, you're going to be, you know, what's why should you restrict these things? It's all part of life. I got some nice porno for you. Yeah, just like, mother, please. He had to tell her. I think I could live without that stuff. It's a true story. I won't tell you the name of the person. It's a true. All my stories are true. Remember right here in Melbourne, the famous example, and I was telling about how enlightened parenthood involves when the girl's 13 or 14 and she has a boyfriend, the parents say, bring him home, let him live with you in your room. Why should you go here and there doing what is normal? What is the ultimate goal of life? Just bring him home. He can stay in your room. Remember, I was describing that? And then one, during the question time, one person in the audience, he's not here now, he raised his hand. Excuse me, Maharaj, excuse me, but it's not like that in every home. Let me tell you, my parents were, they are very strict. They would never allow my sister to do such a thing. I think you're exaggerating, but there are homes that have strict guidelines. In my home, if my sister's boyfriend comes over, my parents forbid him to stay in her room. They stay overnight in the living room. Very strict. Very strict. So this is considered enlightened parenthood. After all, sense gratification is the goal of life. The parents know that. So why not let the children freely indulge? Let them be happy. And it makes the parenting job so easy. You just turn a blind eye to everything. Because the parents, what are the parents thinking? Well, we were teenagers, we were doing all that, so how can we stop them? Yes.
As a devotee, are we in a position of leadership rather than a certain class of devotees fight against other devotees?
Every devotee is leading by example. Every devotee may not be in a leading position, but by his or her example, you're leading. You're showing how to be a real human being. You're carrying the light of genuine wisdom. The more devotees represent Lord Chaitanya properly, the more people are attracted. Oh, these are high quality persons. Dressed nicely, not using wearing exotic attire as an excuse not to be tidy. Dress nicely, very gentlemanly. You know the famous statement by Prabhupada, how do you judge who is my disciple? By who is a perfect gentleman and lady. Well-mannered, courteous. And that way every devotee can be a leader. Examples are worth thousands of words. Lord Chaitanya taught by example. The bhakti movement is spread by example. As Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivere Shikari. By the example, by the behavior, every devotee has an opportunity to lead in that way. Every man, every woman, whether you live in the ashram, whether you live in a home, every child even, are you leading by example? When society looks at you, are they becoming inspired? How can someone be a good leader unless they're good followers? So good leadership depends on good following. That means if someone tries to give you some advice, someone who has much more experience and knowledge than you, and you just dismiss it, what do you call that? Huh? I'm asking the questions. What do you call that? If someone much more experienced and knowledgeable than you gives you some advice, you just dismiss it for whatever mental complicated reason. How could you say this to me? Who told you that? Where did you get your information from? Completely missing the point. So how do you call someone who does like that? Not answering. I'm not allowed to ask questions. I know I should just come and eat nice prasad and not ask any questions. So what are you going to do? Bribe me with some mala sweets afterwards so I don't ask these kind of questions? She's not going to answer. Yes.
What the comforts that Kali Yuga sort of offers,
Very good question. Yeah. Okay, let's go over those comforts. Comfort number one. What is it?
Incoming.
Yes.
What would they say? Comfort number one.
I suppose having, you know, a really nice bed and a really nice home and air conditioning.
Wait, slow down now. Number one. Not you personally, but, you know, the people in general. Very nice home. Okay, what do you mean by a nice home?
That's sort of comfortable, air conditioning and nice climate, so whatever else. I mean,
is that really so difficult to attain these days? The air conditioning and a carpet on the floor? Just to get air conditioning and a carpet on the floor.
To actually own a home,
To own a home, if it's possible, okay. But sometimes the money karma, as Grihastas say, the money karma of a couple is such that they cannot own, they have to rent. But still they can be Krishna conscious. Some Grihastas have more money in their karma than others. But the one with less money may be more Krishna conscious, which is the real comfort. You see, air conditioning and a carpet on the floor will not soothe the heart. It will not make you feel fulfilled. Oh, air conditioning. Oh, carpet on the floor. Oh, every corner of my soul is satisfied. You have air conditioning, yes, but you also, you get the electric bill, too. You have carpets, yes, then you have to vacuum the carpets. They store all kinds of pathogens and microbes that give you allergies. So you have a nice home. Who's going to clean it? Not you. The species on this side of the room cleans the house. I know one householder, I won't mention his name because he's here. He got a big, grand house. The goal, you know, his dream. And then after a while, the wife said, wait a minute, in this big, nice house, guess who has to do all the cleaning? Let us move and get a smaller place. They got the big, nice house. They invited Guru Maharaj there for the house blessing. Invited all the devotees, Kijai. And then after a while, the reality set in. Wait a minute now. I gotta clean this house. Why, the man's not gonna clean it. So then the wife is cleaning the house all the time, and the man is busy at work to pay for the dream. And then their relationship starts to break down, first of all, because they're not going to the temple, they're not reading, they're not chanting Hare Krishna. Then they start accusing each other, blaming each other. You don't talk to me. Well, you don't talk to me. It's not the same. Well, you're not the same. Okay, air conditioning, carpet, what else? Owning a nice car. How nice is nice? You mean a prestige car? You mean, yeah, a new Hyundai. You can get a new Holden.
Right.
But if you get a used car, how long does the thrill last of getting a new car? No. The thrill lasts a month or so, because the new car starts to get dirty, it starts to get dents in it. So a new car, is that for impressing others or for a more comfortable ride?
Comfortable.
Comfortable ride, not bumpy, is that it?
And yeah, also to buy a car so to impress people.
But you're talking about persons who aren't so materialistic. They're not trying to impress. Let's talk about devotees. A devotee wants a good car. What does a good car mean to a devotee? Something when you drive up to the temple in your BMW, everyone says, "Wow, Krishna's mercy." You know the mantra. You'll be Lakshmi, Lakshmi, Lakshmi in a house by the sea. Jai Jagadish Hari. You can get a comfortable used car if you do research. If you use your intelligence, you get a good used car. It just takes intelligence. Some cars don't have a famous prestige badge, but they're very comfortable. And you get them as a good used car deal. I know I do it all the time because of my auto injury. In 2008, I can't go long distances in a bouncy car. So in New Zealand, they got a car that, you know, you just have to do research. There are consumer agencies that rate products. This car is undervalued. It actually gives a very comfortable ride. It's a good deal as a used car. Finished. What's the main problem in cars? They're death traps. You want a comfortable death trap. Aren't right now where we're so concerned about one devotee of the community who's in the hospital, life-threatening still?
Observation.
It's better. Yeah. He's better. What is his name?
Nila Gopal Das.
Nila?
Gopal Das.
Gopal or Gopa?
Gopal.
Gopal.
Yeah. Gopa.
Gopa. Yes, so he's doing better. Whether the car is comfortable or not, car accidents happen. The car accidents don't say, "Oh, you're in a prestige, comfortable car, no accident." Well, making propaganda, we want safer cars, not to the extent that the manufacturers will really do what they can to make a car safer in collisions. In Sweden, they do that. Therefore, Volvos are known to be much more safer in accidents. But that's because the government takes that attitude. But not everyone's buying Volvo. Oh, it's a safer car in a collision. So you can easily get a comfortable car that's used without breaking the bank and ruining your sadhana. Or it may be easier just to take public transportation. I know families who decided, "We won't have any car. We'll live near the temple and pay the higher rent, but get the spiritual benefit of living near the temple, and we'll take public transportation to work." Everything depends on your priority. So we're not against air conditioning. We're not against carpets. We're not against comfortable cars. But keep the priority in mind, your spiritual development. If in order to get the carpets, the air conditioning, and the comfortable car and the big house, you have to jeopardize your spiritual life, what's the use? That's our point. Okay? You can have all those things. Nice big home, thick carpet, air conditioning in every room, beautiful wife. But remember the price you have to pay. The number one wealth is spiritual development. Keep that in mind and and you'll be able to stay on track. So what you say that people don't want to take up spiritual life because they're going to miss the comforts. But what comforts? What are they going to miss? Can you name some things? Can you name some things that they'll miss?
It's just my love of the way that
It's their mental concoction. It's an excuse. That's my point. It's an excuse to avoid Krishna. Oh, if I come to Krishna, that means no air conditioning in my home, no carpet on the floor. Give me a break. No car. This is just an excuse. Some of my householders have cars, some don't. Some have big house, some have small rental, but they're all becoming Krishna conscious. That's the real treasure. We're not going to start broadcasting. Come, take shelter of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. Your money will increase. We've got it all for you here. Beautiful girls, money, big houses, big cars. There are some teachers, so-called spiritual teachers, who say like that. Come get the blessings of the deity, your Lakshmi will increase. We're not going to do that. Our opulence is devotion to Krishna, and we're trying to make that devotion as pure as possible. We want the ultimate treasure of pure devotion to Krishna, serving Krishna simply for Krishna's pleasure. You know, when I'm speaking at universities, I often bring up this point. Most of you have probably heard it before, but I think you may not have heard it. That social science research now shows that beyond a basic middle class standard of living, any further increase in income or luxury will not lead to an increase in material happiness or satisfaction. Beyond a basic middle class standard of living. There's just an illusion that more money, more luxury is going to make you feel better. What do you think about that? This is their own social science. I'm not quoting Shastra, I'm quoting mundane social knowledge. So I was speaking once at a university. Might have been University of Cape Town, where Srup Shakti is from. And they were like a room full of students and professors. And so I asked, how many of you have heard of this research? 90% raised their hands. That beyond a basic middle class standard of living, any further money or luxury will not lead to any perceived satisfaction or happiness as measured by standard psychological indicators. How many have heard of it? 90% raise their hand. Yes, we've heard of this. So I said, you have no argument with this. You know, no argument. There's some tweaking, some argument about the tweaks, but the general proposition is accepted in the academic world. We all agree. Then I asked another question. Okay, since you all accept this generally, tell me, how many of you here are prepared to live life on a basic middle-class standard? Out of 200, maybe two persons raised their hand. So just see, there's a disconnect between themselves and their own material knowledge. What do you think about that? They can't deal with the realities of their own research. What to speak of deal with Shastra? But they blame Krishna. No, no, no. If we come to Krishna, we'll miss out on all the comforts. But they can't even follow the dictates of their own material research. And they're supposed to be intelligent. So what we're doing is saying, look, use your brain, follow the research, your own mundane research. Don't eat meat, don't strive for more money and luxury that you need than what you need, because it's not going to make you any feel more satisfied. What social psychologists are pointing at now is that the real wealth of people is relationships. to take care of your health and have community relationships. But mundane relationships without Krishna in the center wear thin very quickly. Even in India, we're seeing now that the traditions are fading and families can't stay together just on social custom and ritual and tradition. There's divorce coming. It may be horrifying to the grandmothers. They would never think of such a thing, but it's happening. Without Krishna in the center, relationships wear thin. So we're not going to just advocate, all right, according to social scientists, what really will satisfy people is not more money, more luxury, but time invested in meaningful relationships. But we know that meaningful relationships cannot be sustained without the supreme meaning in the center. The whole problem begins with a lack of understanding what our identity is. Therefore, we have to get the most basic education. What is the self? And then, what is the supreme self? And then, what is the relationship between the two? We're facing a severe education problem, a lack of wisdom. What to speak of a lack of examples of wisdom. That's the noble task this community is trying to do. Erect a wisdom culture that can guide persons and protect persons. Okay? Any more comforts that we missed? We're such an opulent community. Nice marriages, nice children. Are you a nice child? You want to marry an exotic bride from another part of the world? You can even do that here. Diversify. All opulences are available. And of course, the supreme opulence is Sri Radha Vallabha. And we long that they bless us with the real wealth of pure devotion. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned that number one wealth for devotees is like spiritual development. So sometimes some devotees, they become wealthy very quickly.
Become what?
In spiritual development, they are very fast. Some are very slow. So like on a highway, there are different lanes, but cars are going at different speed, like cars are going at 100 and some are going at 40. So there will be little bit chaos. So how can we understand, like how can we live in a synchronized way, in a harmonious way?
That takes good leadership to deal with the people who are advancing at different speeds. You don't want to discourage the slow trains, but you also don't want to discourage the fast trains. That's part of a healthy spiritual culture. To gently encourage everyone while facilitating everyone's speed. The main thing is that they're trying to make progress. That's the main thing. Just like in school, there are classes for the advanced, there are classes for the general students, and sometimes there are even classes for the slow students. But the teachers want to see that everyone is trying their best. Which class are you in? Accelerated. Do you feel accelerated? When you learn Bhagavad Gita verses, that's the real acceleration. So you do your studies nicely. If you're going, I always say, if you're going to school, then do it nicely. But don't think it's the ultimate goal of life. So are you in an accelerated shloka learning class? Are you still learning shlokas? Okay. Are you going to learn how to cook like your mother and father? You should get accelerated cooking lessons. Oh, not you, your sister, right? But this is Australia. No gender distinctions between household duties. Yes, soon Indian families will be like that. In the European Union recently, the government ministry of the European Union put forth a proposal that they should go through all the literatures, the European literatures, and change them, taking out anything that implies that women should do housework and make it all gender neutral. Go through all the European literature and change it. So if your sister learns how to cook, but your father, he cooks, right? Or is it all your mother? Maybe I was an illusion. What is the truth? Tell me.
They both cook.
They both, so. Very dynamic team in the kitchen. So you can also learn that. You can learn a little bit as you're young, and gradually will increase. How did your father learn? You never ask him. You just eat the prasad. Don't ask questions. How did you learn?
My bachelor's life, I cook
myself. Uh-huh. My wife as well as my parents. Okay. Anyway, you're worried about the comforts in the back. You have to take your advice from the topmost Indian, that's Srila Prabhupada. He said, the happiness of Indian family life is eating. You may live in a small rented apartment. You may have no carpet on the floor, no air conditioning, but you want good prasad, right, man? When you're taking prasad, you're not worried about the air conditioning or the carpet. You want good prasad. So Prabhupada said, that's the happiness of Indian family life, eating. Take note of that, Srupshakti. She's doing pretty good. She cooked for me in Mayapur and Vrindavan. Just getting together and honoring good prasad, that's real happiness. But these people are so foolish. They want to go out to Sizzlers or this restaurant. Just like you go down to, what's the main street right out here? Victoria. Lined with cafes of all internationalities. Cafe Saigon, Cafe Spain, Greek pizza, Italian pizza, this pizza, that pizza. Because if people can't cook, they don't know the happiness of offering food to Krishna and honoring it together. So, are you a married man?
No.
All right. So you come here, and then you can become qualified to get a devastating cook as a wife. You see? Come home from work and there's just devastating prasad waiting for you. You forget all about whether there's air conditioning, carpet, what year your car is. Forget all about the boy toys. Whether you have a video camcorder or not. That's real opulence. So what do you say?
That's true.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.